Today is the 19th day of July. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today as we greet a brand new shiny week. And do what we've come to do. Gather together here. Just get shoulder to shoulder. Right, we got our arms around each other. We're standing here in community. And we're looking forward. And if you're looking backward, turn around. Turn around. If you're stuck back there, you can't go back there. Like, we can't. And I mean, trust me, there's been times that I've thought, how can I get a time machine? Where there is no way to go back. So we gotta face forward, because that's the week in front of us. And we gotta go into it. There's nowhere else to go. And we've got to write on that week, I mean, the story of our lives for the week. So just being aware that every thought, every word, every action, that's going to, I mean, those are the writing utensils that we will make of our week. Let's choose wisely. We choose wisely by letting the scripture speak into our lives, but we choose wisely by allowing wisdom to be a category that we seek at every crossroads. Because as the scriptures tell us in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is at every crossroads. Everywhere, every choice that we have, she's there saying, go this way. This is the way to go. Don't go that way. If we will slow down and listen. So may we do just that as we navigate a new week, and let us pick up where we left off on our journey through the scriptures. It's a brand new week. We'll read from the New English Translation this week. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29. David assembled in Jerusalem all the officials of Israel, including the commanders of the tribes, the commanders of the army divisions that served the king, the commanders of units of 1,000 and 100, the officials who were in charge of all the property and livestock of the king and his sons, the eunuchs and the warriors, including the most skilled of them. King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I wanted to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant could be placed as a footstool for our God. I have made the preparations for building it, but God said to me, 'You must not build a temple to honor me, for you are a warrior and have spilled blood. The Lord God of Israel chose me out of my father's entire family to become king over Israel and have a permanent dynasty. Indeed, he chose Judah as leader and my father's family within Judah, and then he picked me out from among my father's sons and made me king over all Israel. From all the many sons the Lord has given me, he chose Solomon, my son, to rule on his behalf over Israel. He said to me, 'Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my temple and my courts, for I have chosen him to become my son, and I will become his father. I will establish his kingdom permanently if he remains committed to obeying my commands and regulations as you are doing this day.' So now, in the sight of all Israel, the Lord's assembly, and in the hearing of our God, I say this: carefully observe all the commands of the Lord your God, so that you may possess this good land and may have it as a permanent inheritance for your children after you. And you, Solomon, my son, obey the God of your father and serve him with a submissive attitude and a willing spirit. For the Lord examines all minds and understands every motive of one's thoughts. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you abandon him, he will reject you permanently. Realize now that the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as his sanctuary. Be strong and and do it. David gave to his son Solomon the blueprints for the temple porch, its buildings, its treasuries, its upper areas, its inner rooms, and the room for atonement. He gave him the blueprints of all he envisioned for the courts of the Lord's temple, all the surrounding rooms, the storehouses of God's temple, and the storehouses for the holy items. He gave him the regulations for the divisions of priests and Levites, for all the assigned responsibilities within the Lord's temple, and for all the items used in the service of the Lord's temple. He gave him the prescribed weight for all the gold items to be used in various types of service in the Lord's temple, for all the silver items to be used in various types of service, for the gold lampstands and their gold lamps, including the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, for the silver lampstands, including the weight of each lampstand and its lamps, according to the prescribed use of each lampstand, for the gold used in the display tables, including the amount to be used in each table, for the silver to be used in the silver tables, for the pure gold used for the meat forks, bowls, and jars, for the small gold bowls, including the weight for each bowl, for the small silver bowls, including the weight for each bowl, and for the refined gold of the incense altar. He gave him the blueprint for the seat of the gold cherubim that spread their wings and provide shelter for the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. David said, "All this I put in writing, as the Lord directed me and gave me insight regarding the details of the blueprints." David said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and brave. Do it. Don't be afraid and don't panic. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not leave you or abandon you before all the work for the service of the Lord's temple is finished. Here are the divisions of the priests and Levites who will perform all the service of God's temple. All the willing and skilled men are ready to assist you in all the work and perform their service. The officials and all the people are ready to follow your instructions." King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is just an experienced young man. And the task is great, for this palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. So I have made every effort to provide what is needed for the temple of my God, including the gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, as well as a large amount of onyx, settings of antimony and other stones, all kinds of precious stones and alabaster. Now to show my commitment to the temple of my God, I donate my personal treasure of gold and silver to the temple of my God, in addition to all that I have already supplied for this holy temple. This includes 3,000 talents of gold from Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the buildings, for gold and silver items, and for all the work of the craftsmen. Who else wants to contribute to the Lord today?" The leaders of the families, the leaders of the Israelite tribes, the commanders of units of 1,000 and 100, and the supervisors of the king's work contributed willingly. They donated for the service of God's temple 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. All who possessed precious stones donated them to the treasury of the Lord's temple, which was under the supervision of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people were delighted with their donations, for they contributed to the Lord with a willing attitude. King David was also very happy. David praised the Lord before the entire assembly. "O Lord God of our father Israel, you deserve praise forevermore. O Lord, you are great, mighty, majestic, magnificent, glorious and sovereign over all the sky and earth. You, Lord, have dominion and exalt yourself as the ruler of all. You are the source of wealth and honor. You rule over all. You possess strength and might to magnify and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your majestic name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be in a position to contribute this much? Indeed, everything comes from you, and we have simply given back to you what is yours. For we are resident foreigners and temporary settlers in your presence, as all our ancestors were. Our days are like a shadow on the earth, without security. O Lord, our God, all this wealth which we have collected to build a temple for you to honor your holy name comes from you. It all belongs to you. I know, my God, that you examine thoughts and are pleased with integrity. With pure motives I contribute all this, and now I look with joy as your people who have gathered here contribute to you. O Lord God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, always maintain these motives of your people and keep them devoted to you. Make my son Solomon willing to obey your commands, rules, and regulations, and to complete building the palace for which I have made preparations. David told the entire assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So the entire assembly praised the Lord God of their ancestors. They bowed down and stretched out flat on the ground before the Lord and the king. The next day they made sacrifices and offered burnt sacrifices to the Lord. 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, along with their accompanying drink offerings and many other sacrifices for all Israel. They held a feast before the Lord that day and celebrated. Then they designated Solomon, David's son, as king a second time. Before the Lord they anointed him as ruler and Zadok as priest. Solomon sat on the Lord's throne as king in place of his father David. He was successful, and all Israel was loyal to him. All the officers and warriors, as well as all of King David's sons, pledged their allegiance to King Solomon. The Lord greatly magnified Solomon before all Israel and bestowed on him greater majesty than any king of Israel before him. David, son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. He reigned over Israel 40 years. He reigned in Hebron 7 years and in Jerusalem 33 years. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. His son Solomon succeeded him. King David's accomplishments from start to finish are recorded in the annals of Samuel the prophet, the annals of Nathan the prophet, and the annals of Gad the prophet. Recorded there are all the facts about his reign and accomplishments, and an account of the events that involved him, Israel, and all the neighboring kingdoms. Romans 5, 6 through 21. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person perhaps someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, because we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from God's wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, since we have been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. Not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. So then, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all people because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but there is no accounting for sin when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who did not sin in the same way that Adam, who is a type of the coming one, transgressed. But the gracious gift is not like the transgression. For if the many died through the transgression of the one man, how much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, multiply to the many? And the gift is not like the one who sinned. For judgment, resulting from the one transgression, led to condemnation. But the gracious gift from the many failures led to justification. For if, by the transgression of the one man, death reigned through the one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as condemnation for all people came through one transgression, so too, through the one righteous act, came righteousness leading to life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, many were constituted sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many will be constituted righteous. Now the law came in so that the transgression may increase. But where sin increased, grace multiplied all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalm 15, a Psalm of David. Lord, who may be a guest in your home? Who may live on your holy hill? Whoever lives a blameless life, does what is right and speaks honestly. He does not slander or do harm to others, or insult his neighbor. He despises a reprobate, but honors the Lord's loyal followers. He makes firm commitments and does not renege on his promise. He does not charge interest when he lends his money. He does not take bribes to testify against the innocent. The one who lives like this will never be shaken. Proverbs 19:18-19. Discipline your child, for there is hope. But do not set your heart on causing his death. A person with great anger bears the penalty. But if you deliver him from it once, you will have to do it again. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for bringing us safely into this brand new week. And as we move into it, we invite your Holy Spirit to make us have eyes to see and ears to hear, to show us wisdom's direction, to show us the narrow path and the wide path that leads to destruction. knowing that those are both options, and we get to choose. Help us to choose wisdom. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, today is July 15th. My name is Cherry. I'm from North Carolina, 10-year listener. On July 14th, the first two callers were men. The first one, his name was Joe from Georgia. The second one didn't mention his name. I'm calling to pray for them both. I too have gone through what they both are going through. Joe mentioned feeling guilt, and the second man said he doesn't feel worthy. I've made many mistakes myself and have hurt those people that I love. I want to pray. Dear God and our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us. Please bless these two men and send support and love to them. We know you do not make mistakes. I pray that they will keep seeking you with all their heart. They'll be patient for your will to be done and for you to reveal your purpose for them. Help them, as well as myself, to be able to forgive others, to forgive ourselves, as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God in heaven, come before you. We worship your name and we exalt you. And we pray that your will would be done in our lives. And as we do, we pray for your will in Josh's life. And we pray for your will in the brother's life who is calling out for his identity, calling out for his role, crying out in desperation because he feels that he's not the man that he was meant to be. And he just wants to talk to you, God. He just wants to hear from you. Lord God, I lift up these two men to you. As my prayer was just earlier in the week for the men that are feeling broken, feeling unseen, feeling hurt, feeling lost. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring them restoration. The word for this year is repair, Lord. And I pray, and we pray together as brothers and sisters, as your church in the body of Christ, we pray for these two men specifically today. And Lord, just speak to their heart, please. Let your peace fall on their heart. And Holy Spirit, fill them now immediately, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ, so they would know your love and they would know you're real and they would know that you're with them and they would sense your presence. And I pray you would surround them with people that know your word and that would bring them a message from you, a message that's personal and that goes straight to their heart, Lord God. And I just pray that Josh would accept your forgiveness and begin to work on forgiving himself so that he can accept the forgiveness of others. And I pray that our other brother would understand that the reason he is alive is because you love him and you made him to do something very special in his lifetime. And he's still here because he hasn't done it yet. And that he doesn't need to be sorry because who he is who he's supposed to be. And that you love him right where he is. That you love all of us right where we are. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let these prayers be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Jeff in Franklin responding to the call from the young man who was asking, why am I here? What is my value? What is my worth? And I would say this, Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has made us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Brother, you have value. You are important. You matter. God loves us, God loves you, and we love you. Just be strong, stay fervent in prayer, and we will, as the Dab family, be praying for you.
Hi neighbors, it's Lisa the Encourager, and I just have to tell y'all so much how much your prayers have been working for me. I had the most incredible thing happen this week with scheduling of my surgery. I was originally going to have it sometime in late August, which was very concerning to me. And God just parted the waters, and my surgery date now is July 24th. So right around the corner. So I'm just appreciating your prayers so much, because it's, I can't, I've even had joy in this moment and had peace and calmness and everything. I can't explain it. I just thank you all so much. So I just ask for prayers for my surgery date, which is July 24th, that everything goes well. And then I'll know more about if I have to have continued treatment after my surgery. So I'm praying, obviously, not that I wouldn't have to have chemotherapy and or maybe radiation, but we won't really know that until after surgery and they have the pathology report. So thank you again so much. I love you all so much. It means, again, the world to me. And I just want to mention the ones that I know you're praying behind the scenes. I know you didn't call in, and I so love you so much, too, because I know you have your list you make. I know that you are out there praying for all of us, and I just want to tell you thank you. Thank you so much, because I feel the prayers of the praying saints here. So, and I also, I know that Brian prays for us every single day. So I appreciate Brian's prayer.
Good morning. I'm a first time caller, and I will go by Mercy Forever in Texas. I'm calling in for a couple of young men that I heard on the 7:15 broadcast. One person was struggling with guilt. I just want to say conviction is from the Holy Spirit, and it's meant to guide, correct, and draw us to repentance. Condemnation, on the other hand, is a tool of the enemy, and he loves to operate through shame. If you've repented and you still feel guilty, please know that God's word says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you think that doesn't apply to you because you keep messing up, please know God's word also says that the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up again. If it feels like a stronghold, I would find an accountability partner to help you. And don't be embarrassed by needing help, because all of us benefit from having prayer partners. Also, there's no sin so dark that the blood of Jesus cannot cover it. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Society tends to categorize sin from least to worst, but that's not how God works. So don't let the accuser make you feel like giving up. You've got this. To the second gentleman, you're not a mistake. God knew exactly what his plans and purposes were for you before you were even born. The devil is a liar and he's very loud, but I would encourage you to search out the truth in God's word. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. His plans for you are for good and not for evil. I don't know why I feel led to say this, but be careful what you listen to and what you watch, because you can be heavily influenced by what you hear and see. Guard your eyes and ears and heart. Avoid music and shows that repeat the same lies and reinforce the negative feelings that you're experiencing. The enemy of your soul uses entertainment to manipulate you. Instead, listen to music that glorifies God and watch faith movies. I also recommend finding a place to volunteer. It helps us take our eyes off ourselves when we help others. I'm praying for you both and praying for victory in and through your lives. One day you will be able to encourage others through similar battles. Jesus loves you both. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Deb family. This is Susan from Plano, Illinois. And today is July 15th. And I just had to stop the prayers after the reading today, after the second caller. The first two were gentlemen who are struggling with different issues. And the first one was Joe from Georgia. The second one, sir, you did not leave your name. And but what you said just broke my heart, and I am so sorry that this world has treated men so horrible, and men do not know what their place is in this world, or what they're supposed to be doing or what they shouldn't be doing. And I just pray that you stay in the Bible, because that will tell you what you're supposed to be doing. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to people who tell you you are not worthy. Don't listen to the voices in your brain that tell you you are not worthy. You are a child of God. You are the prince of a king. And God does not make mistakes. God formed you. He knew you before you were born. He loves you. We love you. And please don't give up. Please seek counseling and keep calling in here. Your dad family loves you, and God loves you even more. You are worthy. There is something that God has planned for you. And just be courageous. Keep your courage up. Joshua 1:9. And just know that we love you, and God loves you more. Don't give up. seek counseling, keep calling into the DAB, keep asking for prayer, and please give us an update on how things are going for you. God bless.